Excuse me, may I talk to you for a second?
Yes. This is the Black Real Estate Dialogue. And the purpose of the Black Real Estate Dialogue is to document the journey of an up-and-coming real estate investor and to share the stories of successful Black real estate investors.
Welcome back to the Black Real Estate Dialogue, and today's Investor Spotlight features Andre Harris from episode number 84. Yo, in this episode, Andre gets very, very honest about what it was like to rebound after he took a big L in the beginning, but also he talks about what it takes to do his first rehab. And so, yo, this episode is going to be phenomenal. We're going to keep this thing rocking and rolling. Get ready for some incredible gems in the next 12 minutes. That's all it takes. That's all it takes because we're highlighting what they say. But yo, Andre Harris, episode 84, Black Real Estate Dialogue. Let's go.
In the beginning, you said you didn't have enough money. That's what you told your friend. And right. What I like to tell people is like, you don't need money. You don't need a lot of money. What you need is creativity and you need a plan. You need those two things. You don't need money. And so with creativity, like you just... you know, looked in the records, see, you know, whose home is, you know, going to be taken, and you found a family member, you would help them out. You figured out how to creatively source the money to not only redeem the property, but also to renovate the property. And at the very least, give this family member a place to stay. They don't have to worry about the taxes anymore. They just can lay their head comfortably. So I think, and you mentioned the 401k loan as well. So, you know, I just want people to understand that, you know, you just have to be creative. There is money available. You just have to turn over every stone, literally, in some cases, especially for the most part when you're starting out.
Yeah, man, I definitely agree with that. It's more around educating yourself, really. Mm-hmm. You know, that's the major key, man. Just to really, if investing is something you really want to do, you got to really immerse yourself in it. And, you know, you got to read, you got to network, you got to get the information, because, you know, even if you have the money, if you don't have the information, all you're going to do is most likely buy a bad deal. You're going to make a bad mistake. So, you know, you definitely got to educate yourself. And that'll allow you to get creative when you kind of know all the different aspects and all the factors that you can kind of work to get deals done. So yeah, I agree with you.
Definitely. So you got that deal done. What was it like going through that rehab experience? Did it need a whole lot of work? Was it just some minor updates? Like, what was that process like for you starting out?
Man, so it needed quite a bit of work. Mm-hmm. It needed quite a bit of work, but I had an edge in this area. I had an edge. Me and my wife been together a long time, and one of the things she used to talk about was how her dad could just do all of this work. Like, my dad could fix this, my dad can do that. And when we lived in our first house, our air conditioner went out one day, and I was like, man, it's like the, you know, it's August, it's super hot, we got to get this fixed. She was like, call my dad first before you call, you know, like a big company, whatever. Called her dad, and Sam, man, he came over, he was troubleshooting the unit, found out the issue. It was like a part that cost like $30 to replace. He fixed it for us. And like after that, I was a believer in him. And so she would always tell me he could do all this other stuff. Like, he could do carpentry, he could do roofing, like he could do everything. And so when we were about to do this renovation, I had hired this guy to start doing, he was going to lay some tile flooring in the house. Mm-hmm. I had hired this guy. The day the job was supposed to start, guy wouldn't pick the phone up. He wouldn't answer the phone. I'm like, where is this dude at? Like, we ready to go. I'm ready to get this thing started. Couldn't get in contact with him. So I called her dad. I said, hey, I don't know what you got going on, but I know, you know, my wife was telling me you do, you know, can do tile work and things like that, man. Can you come take a look at this flooring job for me? Now, keep in mind, he was very familiar with this house. So he's like, he goes up, he's like, yeah, I can do it. So he gets in, he was like, yeah, well, I can do this too. And I can do that too. And I was like, well, how about I just pay you to do this job? He didn't do all of it, but he did a good portion of it.
Yeah.
So he laid tile floors in. He like redid one of the bathrooms. He did a couple of other things in there, saved us a bunch of money, but he really gave me peace of mind to know that, okay, now I know somebody that really understands renovation. And if I, you know, I may see something that looks terrible, I can call him and say, hey, take a look at this for me. And he can give me some peace of mind. Yeah, it's not that bad. You can just do this, this, and this. So my father-in-law helped quite a bit on that first rehab, really on the first, probably the first two or three. Mm-hmm. He was instrumental in helping us getting those done.
Love it.
That's so, awesome. Yeah, I wasn't quite as stressed because I kind of had him in my corner. Now, the trade-off with that, the job didn't get complete in 2 weeks. You know, it probably took a lot longer than it would have taken, but you know, it saved us a bunch of money. And so the trade-off was it took a little longer to get complete. But yeah, man, I it was really more the education and just kind of learning from him, just seeing what he was doing and talking to him about things. It really helped me out a lot.
Definitely. Love it. So where did things go from there? You know, you got the first property, you got it squared away, you got the family member as a tenant. What was next after that?
Yeah, man. So I was hooked after that. I was like, this is the plan. I'm gonna buy all these land bank properties. I'm gonna just buy these land bank properties for, you know, pennies on a dollar, and I'm gonna just keep doing that. So what I did, now keep in mind, there are some issues with tax sales and land bank properties. Typically, when you buy those properties, the title isn't free and clear. Like you can't buy one of those and go to the bank and say, okay, I want to refinance this. Or you can't go sell it to somebody where they have to get bank financing, because the title isn't, like, banks wouldn't, oh, this was sold in a tax sale. They don't really record that. It's harder to get the title insurance. Mm-hmm. Most title companies won't give you the title insurance. But in my case with this property, since it was a family member that was the owner, they signed it over to me. So the title was clear at that point. Mm-hmm. And so I was able to go to a bank after we had renovated. She had moved back in. We were getting rent. We were able to go back to the bank, actually a local credit union. And we refinanced about $50,000 out.
Wow.
We put about $50,000 out. And we bought two more properties from the land bank. We bought one for like $7,000. We bought one for like $10,000. And we bought a third one where we had a partner on it. It was like $8,000, which we ended up selling that one down the road. But that was kind of the first. So we had those three, you know, and we renovated those, got those rented out. You know, my father-in-law helped a lot with those renovations. And that's what we had for a long time, because this is what I want to get into.
Yeah.
It seems like after that, you can imagine how I was feeling after that happened, because that was in a relatively short period of time. Like we went from zero to like four properties. Like, just like that, it seemed like.
And how short of a time span?
It was probably maybe like a year.
Wow.
Probably like a year, maybe, wow. You know, a year, 18 months, something like that.
Yeah.
And so I'm like geeked. I'm like, man, I'm gonna be able to quit my job. And like, so I'm like pumped up about it. Man, it's like maybe 6 months after that, out of town investors, man. Out of state, out of the country, they would come in and buy, oh, there are 50 properties, we want all 50. Or there are 100, we want all of them. And so deals were drying up. And on top of that, there are a lot more people locally kind of caught wind of it. And it was just a lot more competition in that space.
Yeah.
And I couldn't get any more deals because the way it works is they'll list a property, say they'll list it for $5,000, right? But if there are multiple offers, like say I come in and say, hey, I want to purchase this, and you come in and say you want to purchase this, and then five other people want to purchase it, then we all have to go to a bid off between all of us, and it'll go to the highest bidder.
Yeah.
So I was having that happen to me a lot. You know, something would get listed for $5,000, it'll get price get driven up to like $40,000 or, you know, wow, something like that. Because with these properties, you know, once you win the bid, like, you got 30 days to pay it. Like, yeah, it's not, you can't go to a bank and say, hey, I want to borrow $40,000. Like, you have to have the money.
Right.
And so all those deals kind of dried up. So we didn't do anything for like, man, we didn't do anything for like 2 years.
Yeah.
You know, we cash flowed those properties, which we sold the one that we had partnered with someone on. Mm-hmm. But we still had those three that we were cash flowing those. And I just kind of didn't do anything, man. I was kind of discouraged. I wasn't educating myself around how to get financing, mm-hmm, you know, how to get these deals, because during that time where I wasn't doing anything, man, there were deals galore. Like, it were deals because I was looking all the time. I just, you know, I didn't know where to get the money to get deals. Mm-hmm. And so I was just losing out on a bunch of deals. So the pandemic was the blessing, man. That was a blessing in disguise for me.
Talk to us about that.
Yeah, man. When the pandemic happened, you know, I was at home more, didn't have to go to office. I was educating myself more. I was doing a little more networking with folks and finding out a few different strategies. And man, since the pandemic, we got 10 doors now.
Wow.
And all of those, you know, that's all since the pandemic. You know, we had those three since the pandemic, man. We've got 6 or 7 units since then. And it's just all about, it was just educating myself, man, and taking the time to, if I really want to do this, you know, people are doing deals. Like, how are they doing deals? Like, how are they getting deals? And so instead of just feeling sorry for myself, like, man, I can't find any deals like I had anticipated.
Yeah.
What other route can I take? So that's what I did, man. The pandemic was a blessing in disguise, man, for sure. Yep.
Amazing. Amazing.
Thank you for listening to another episode of the Black Real Estate Dialogue Podcast. Remember to follow us on Instagram at Black Real Estate Dialogue and on Twitter at Bread Podcast. That's B-R-E-D Podcast. Until next time.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.